You can talk about it now on both sides of the fence. Number six meets number nine. Season maker or a potential season breaker? Where will Hugh Freeze be Saturday, if at all, in Lafayette? In the press box, on the field, in a wheelchair, on a bed? We will find out. Recruiting. When football season comes around, recruits flock in from everywhere. The very latest update on these stories and much more today, Tuesday, September 3rd, 2019.
Out of the gun with Javian Hawkins again behind him. They hand it off. No, pass keeps it. He runs up the middle and he's got nothing but green grass. Inside the five and into the end zone for a Louisville touchdown. He faked the give, ran up the middle. Nobody was home for Notre Dame and Louisville has their first lead. It's 13-7. Out of the gun with Javian Hawkins again behind him. They hand it off. Ball being snapped between the hashes. Brook drops, looks to the right, fakes the throw. Now he takes off inside the 10, inside the 5. He dives. Touchdown, Notre Dame. What a play. Brook faked the pass, but he wanted to run it the entire time, and he did 11 yards into the end zone, and Notre Dame has regained the lead at 20-14 with 17 seconds left. See what they do. Jameer Smith is still the tailback. Book still under center. He hands it to Smith up the middle and he dives and he's in. Touchdown Notre Dame. Second of the game for Jameer Smith. A nice 11 play drive for the Irish to go up 34-17 with 8:15 remaining in the fourth quarter.
Well, that was the end of five consecutive days of college football. Notre Dame capped things off with a win at Louisville last night. Week one is in the books and setting up a dramatic week number two with some interesting matchups like number 12, Texas A&M, traveling to Clemson to take on the number one ranked Tigers. And, of course, the sixth-ranked LSU Tigers getting ready to travel to Austin to take on ninth-ranked the Longhorns. Wow, what a Saturday it will be. The team making the biggest leap in the recent AP Top 25, Auburn, jumps up six spots after their win over Oregon. Gus Malzahn has his Tigers in the top 10. It's Clemson 1, Alabama 2, Georgia 3, Oklahoma 4, Ohio State 5, LSU 6, Michigan 7, Notre Dame 8, Texas 9, Auburn 10, Florida 11, Texas A&M 12. How about them apples? Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. We're here for the next two full hours. Again, we only give way to the Astros if they're going to win, and Springer in the 10th. How dramatic was that? Man, don't pitch to Christian Yelich. Just don't do it. Don't do it. And he ties it up, sends it into extra innings, and the 10th Springer hits the home run, and the Astros on a roll. I think they've won 12 of their last 15. They are getting ready for some serious postseason play. But my main man, CD, producer extraordinaire, is in the 237 Roof Production Studios on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB, 1037 The Game, and 1037thegame.com. Tuesday edition. Ed Orgeron had his press luncheon today. We'll hear more from Coach O shortly. Billy Napier had his press conference yesterday. And the Liberty Flames come to Cajun Field for the home opener for the Raging Cajuns. And Billy Napier previewed the Flames. It's coming, boys. It's coming. From Lynchburg, Virginia. Lost 24-0 to Syracuse in their season opener. But here's Coach Napier talking about Liberty University.
You know, Liberty's got a handful of players that are explosive. You know, really good skill on offense. The quarterback's a proven passer who's spread it around last year, threw for all kinds of yards. And then they've got some disruptive defensive players. You know, they've got some edge players that are unique. that can create some issues for you. They're big and inside backer and physical, really big in the interior D-line. Impressed with the overall athletic ability of the back end guys, and certainly some new players as well that they've added to the roster. So, you know, Coach Freeze is a proven head coach. He certainly has always had very competitive teams, well-coached teams, and this one's going to be no different.
Hugh Freeze, he is the coach after being fired from Ole Miss and out of football for a couple of years. Jerry Falwell Jr., the religious school, took a chance and hired him, and now he's had a back surgery, a staph infection. They've gotten more publicity for Liberty in one game with Hugh Freeze in a hospital bed up in the press box calling the game. So what's going to happen in week two? Here's Billy Napier talking about nothing like Southern hospitality.
Well, I think our administration's handling all that, but certainly we want to do everything we can do to help Coach Freeze. I mean, it's a unique scenario for him. You know, I think if any of us were in that situation and had an obligation to a group of people, we would want to do everything we could do for him. I know I would, and certainly respect him navigating this as he overcomes, which, you know, is a tough deal. So our thoughts and prayers are with Coach Freeze.
We will talk with Damian Sordelet in hour number two. He covers Liberty for the News and Advance in Lynchburg, Virginia. We'll go into detail. I'm curious as to, you know, what was the general reaction when the university hired Hugh Freeze? They took a while. They took a chance. Now, he's a good coach. There's no question about that. But he has some baggage along with him. But that's neither for me nor you to. That's just they took the chance. We wish him luck. The New Orleans Saints will open up their NFL season, Super Bowl or bust, 1 week from today when the Houston Texans come a calling in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. It's going to be a wild, wild night. No question about that. The newest member of the team, veteran linebacker Kiki Alonso, talked about, hey, you're going to a contender. He's got to be excited, right?
I'm excited. And, you know, when I heard about the news of the trade coming here, there's nothing but excitement.
Nothing but excitement. He talked about joining and trying to mix in with this linebacker group.
Obviously, I know Rizzy, but, you know, I know of a lot of, you know, AJ. I came out with AJ. You know, I've watched, you know, DeMario, Alex, Craig. You know, I'm very, very familiar with these guys. Got a lot of respect for a lot of the guys on this team.
He's a veteran. He'll fit in quickly, and he will play in game one. Also playing in game one, never thought he'd make the 53-man roster when camp opened, but he proved himself on the field, especially on special teams. Deontay Harris talked about what kind of a ride it's been for him.
I mean, it's definitely been a ride, I guess that's what you want to call it. I got hurt during rookie mini camp. I got hurt again during OTAs, and then I think I actually got hurt twice during OTAs. So it's definitely been a ride. But I'm just thankful for the journey and just blessed to be here.
Difficult decisions. You have to get down to that 53-man roster. Sean Payton is there. No question Alvin Kamara will play a role. You know, he may not run the ball anymore, but I guarantee you he'll catch more passes coming out of the backfield. And he specifically talked about, without Jadeveon Clowney, but J.J. Watt and company are still there, here's Alvin Kamara on the Texans' defense.
Yeah, we have. I mean, it's an active defense. Great up front. You know, they missing Jadeveon now, but still, I mean, they got players I can fill in. They're good. They rally to the ball. They take the ball away. So it's a lot of things that we're seeing on film that, you know, is posing the challenge. But, you know, I think we're confident in the way we prepare in our game plan.
I like hearing that. The defense has the game plan for a quarterback where, you know, they traded Clowney. They got Jeremy Tunsil, the former offensive lineman for the Ole Miss Rebels back in the day. They're trying to protect their quarterback. Nobody got hit more in football last year than Deshaun Watson. But Alvin Kamara still respects the former Clemson quarterback.
He's exciting to watch. You know, it's weird because you're excited to watch somebody that you're playing against. I don't want him. He could do good the next week.
I'm with you, Alvin Kamara. So you got the Raging Cajuns home opener Saturday against Liberty. The Saints home opener, season opener against the Houston Texans on Monday. Only team going on the road are the LSU Tigers, and they're heading to Austin, Texas, a place they hadn't been to in a long, long time, with a lot at stake and a lot on the line. We'll hear from head coach Ed Orgeron, or should I call him Spread Orgeron, next here on the Jordy Helpert Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
You're listening to the Jordy Holtberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Want to get in on the action? Call us up on the Ardco Equipment Hotline at 337-706-0111.
Well, you've been waiting and waiting for it seems like an eternity. You got game one out of the way, and now you get a chance to really get ready for a big college football game. Saturday night, Darrell K. Royal, Texas Memorial Stadium, 6:30 p.m. kickoff, national television on ABC. And, of course, you can listen to it right here on 103.7 The Game, LSU and Texas. For the first time, LSU will face the Longhorns in the regular season since 1954. LSU is 7-9-1 all time against the Longhorns. The last meeting coming in the 2003 Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. I was there. It was cold, and Texas just beat us 35-20. Saturday's game will mark the second time that both teams enter the game ranked in the top 10. Back in 1963 in the Cotton Bowl, number 7 LSU beat number 4 Texas 13-0. So the game we've all been waiting for is upon us. And the talk is going on, and Ed Orgeron met with the media today. He gave the media Labor Day off, but he met with them today. And we have some clips from Coach O talking about this ball game. And it all starts with the quarterback. And Sam Ehlinger is a very, very good dual threat quarterback. Say what you want. He's pretty darn good. Coach O, very impressed with him.
The offense is led by Sam Ehlinger, quarterback. He's a very, very good football player. He's a complete football player. And he does a lot of things with his feet. He does a great job with his arm. He makes some great decisions. They have an excellent scheme. They're very similar to us on offense. And he knows where to go with the football.
Coach O was asked later on down the line, everybody's, you know, who does he remind you of? Is there a quarterback that you have faced in your past that reminds you of Ehlinger, or that Ehlinger reminds you of someone else? And Coach O talked about a pretty good comparison here.
You know, he reminds me a little bit of Tebow. And I was at another school and we had to play Tebow. And I'm not saying he's as good as Tebow. I'm not saying he's not, but he reminds me of that type of player. But he's a better thrower.
And Ehlinger is right-hander. He is a much better thrower, but he can run the football and do similar things with him in the red zone like they did for Tebow when he was at Florida. Not afraid to run the quarterback draw. Not afraid to get him and just, you know, let him go and turn him loose. Hey, but there's much more to it. Look, there's only one true running back on this squad, and we'll hear from Coach Herman later on. But this game is going to hinge upon which quarterback plays the better. No question. Is it going to be Joe Burrow or is it going to be Sam Ehlinger? Well, Coach O talked about the rest of the Longhorns on offense.
Keontae Ingram's a big back. He's physical and he's explosive. Kyle Joseph may be the biggest and one of the best receivers we see all year. We're going to have a plan for them. They're very strong up front. have a very good scheme.
So a very, very good scheme. Tom Herman is in his third season at Texas. He is 18-10 overall, where many people feel the offenses are very similar with the RPOs and with the strength being the quarterback. They're very similar in that. What many people give the advantage to LSU in this game is their defense. Coach O talked about the opponent on defense.
On defense, they're 3-3-5. They're returning four starters. Their linebackers are very, very good, and so is Caden Stearns, one of the best safeties we're going to see. Joseph Asaias, number 46, is an excellent linebacker. Those guys can run and hit. They blitz a whole bunch, a zone blitz football team. They're very good at blitzing.
He expects them to blitz an awful lot. He calls it feast or famine. LSU, you know, they came out in that 11 type of scheme with one back, one tight end, three wides. That's not nearly their entire package of things. You didn't see Joe Burrow run the football against Georgia Southern. Don't be surprised if he takes off in this one, although he does not run nearly as much as Ellinger does. But he will tuck it and run when needed. It's a huge, huge opportunity and a huge game. And all hands are on deck, Coach Joe said. Sadiq Charles will be back and Michael Divinity will be back. In fact, he talked about Divinity and working him back into the linebacker rotation.
We're going to go through the week and see what happens. You know, obviously we're going to work Michael back in. We think Michael's an excellent linebacker for us and also can play out the line of scrimmage sometimes when we need him. We're going to see how we can work those guys in, what maybe a first down situation with somebody else, a third down situation with somebody else, and play all four of them in equal snaps. They deserve it.
Yeah, you got to let them all play. They've worked hard. They've shown production on the field. And so you got to turn them loose and let them play. This could be a breakout game for one Kalavon Chaisson. This is the kind of guy that with the speed that he has, you need him in the open field to chase down Ellinger and to make plays. Chaisson was effective in game one. He didn't come up with the monster play or anything like that, but still effective. And Coach O talked about number 18.
Well, you know, he's gained some weight, obviously. Kalavon is very thick, and he has a great lower body. He has a lot of strength in his lower body, and he's worked hard. And, you know, this injury allowed him to get stronger in the weight room. Tommy Moffitt has done a tremendous job with this guy. He's very explosive. As you can see, he's all muscles. And the way he played last Saturday night is how we expect him to play.
And, look, anytime you go on the road – in an environment that's going to be there. And look, LSU's already said, and I love this, LSU gets 3,500 tickets from Texas for the game. And I've been a proponent of this forever. And when LSU goes on the road, 90% of the tickets they get are way up in the boondocks that you can hardly see the darn field. All right? And LSU way too accommodating with opponent schools and giving them prime seats. They already came out and said, if our seats are up in the nosebleeds, when Texas returns the favor, guess where they're going to be? Up in the nosebleeds. Finally, way to go. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? Yeah, you don't give us good seats, we're not giving you good seats. Amen to that. So when you go on the road, you rely on your seniors, you rely on your veterans who have been there and done that. LSU's played in a ton of big games. This is just another one. Coach O is very confident in the maturity of his ball club.
We're about to tell on Saturday night, and I don't expect them to play well. This is a mature team. The way they acted yesterday were not giddy. It was a day off for them. We had to tell the truth Monday. They handled the film very well. We had one of our best Monday practices we ever had. They know the magnitude of this football game, but again, we're not going to make it bigger than life. We've been in big games before, but this is a big game, and they know it.
Absolutely. Coach O also touched upon, was asked the question about what this type of offense that they exhibited in that 55-3 win where they just precision marching down the field. Everybody eats, quote unquote. You know, so many running backs combined to catch 14 passes, wide receivers, tight ends getting the ball. He says it's great for recruiting. But if they can do that against Texas, it's going to be even better for recruiting because of the impact that LSU has in that state. But it all comes down, again, to quarterback play. Who's going to play better? They're going to have a scheme for Joe Burrow because Tom Herman knows him very, very well. Coach O talked about how do you defend Ellinger.
Yeah, you know, that stuff sounds good until they start giving it to the running back and they start making a lot of plays, you know. So we're going to have a sound defensive scheme. The one thing I like about Coach Aranda and our defensive staff, we may have gone into last week's game with about 15 different defenses. We used one. Our guys play. And, you know, we're going to go in there and play our base defense. Now, if we need to make adjustments as the game goes on, Coach Aranda always has some answers. So I'm sure there'll be something like that if we need it. But if we can play our base defense and play the things that we play well, that's what we're always going to do that.
There you go. So the defense was under the microscope, in my opinion, and they graded out with an A average across the board. Joe Burrow was named the SEC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance against Georgia Southern. I mean, 23 of 27, 278 yards, 5 touchdowns. It's the third time Burrow has been named to the SEC Offensive Player of the Week. Third time. And, you know, this is the fourth straight game that Burrow has completed at least 20 passes. That's the first time an LSU quarterback has ever, ever done that. There you go. Got a little change in plans. We're going to hear from head coach Tom Herman of the Longhorns next. Then we're going to go to Austin at around 2:45. Brian Davis covers the Horns as our comprehensive coverage of the showdown in Austin continues here on the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. We'll be right back.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
The chatter's already beginning. Longhorns coming out in their season opening win against Louisiana Tech in warm-ups with their white T-shirts that says there's only one DBU. And so that started off something. So this is going to be a very, very interesting matchup, to say the very least. Number 9, Texas will be the highest-ranked non-conference foe that LSU has played on the road since losing 33-17 at number 3, Texas A&M, on September the 2nd, 1995. The Longhorns move up a spot to number 9. In the latest AP poll, LSU remains pat at number 6. Texas with an enrollment of 51,832. LSU's at just under 31,000. Huge place. Huge place. They beat Tech 45-14. We talked about similar offenses. We talked about LSU maybe having the advantage on defense. Ed Orgeron says it's a team that protects the football and is the most physical that's going to win the matchup. We've heard from Coach O. Now it's time to hear from the opposing head coach, and that is one Tom Herman, who had his press conference earlier this week. And we've got some of the sound cut up for you. Just remember, he is the guy that LSU was coveting. There's no question about that at the time. But he's there. He's always wanted to be there. And we got the guy that we've got. So here's Tom Herman recapping the 31-point win over our friends up in Ruston, Louisiana.
I thought our guys, you know, we talked about that game Saturday after, but, you know, our guys played with a lot of confidence, played fast. We were fresh. We were physical. And was proud of the effort.
Now, their starting running back is intact. Their backup running back is hurt. They've got their second string running back now as a converted quarterback, and their third string running back is a converted linebacker. Tom Herman says a lack of running back doesn't change anything. Listen.
Yeah, I thought Keyonte played well, played really well physically. I think I think he was a little too excited sometimes, kind of lacked a little bit of patience on a couple runs, and kind of ran up into the back of his O-line a couple times. And then the good thing is, though, when he kind of squirted out of that, he usually found a way to make yards and make the first guy miss. Not on game day. I think you got to do whatever it takes to win, especially when you're playing a top 10 team with such a good defense like LSU. So I think in practice, you know, these guys have been wearing green jerseys, been non-contact for 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So, but on game day, you got to turn them loose and do whatever it takes to win.
Which means Ehlinger is going to throw it and run it an awful, awful lot. Talked about the offense a little bit. He talks about his defense, particularly. Coach O loved the linebackers for the Longhorns. He said they have a great safety. Here's Coach Herman talking about his front seven defensively.
I thought the front three played really well. Malcolm. You felt Malcolm, Taquan graded out as a champion. I thought, what they were doing, throwing the ball 54 times and getting it out as quickly as they were, Keandre's game was a bit neutralized. But he played well when his opportunity arose. The linebackers were, Jeffrey played, McCulloch played really well. Joseph obviously played really, really well. Deli and Juwan. It was good to get their feet wet. They didn't kill us by any stretch, but they had some first game kind of jitters and alignment issues, but still confident we are in those guys.
Very confident about his defense. He's very comfortable and confident with LSU's quarterback, Joe Burrow. Loved him coming out of high school. In fact, recruited him, got him to sign with Ohio State. Tom Herman talked about his relationship with the guy that makes the RPO go for LSU.
I love Joe. I recruited him. I got to know his family. He's a coach's kid. His dad's the defense coordinator at Ohio University. He reminds me a lot of our guy. He's physically, mentally tough. He's uber competitive. He's a leader amongst leaders. To say you got to pressure him, yeah. I mean, as with any good quarterback, you do. But we got DB coaches that are saying, "Well, hang on, can we cover him every now and again too, and give my guys some help." So you've got to vary the looks. I don't think you can say we're going to dial a blitz up every snap and say we're good enough to hold up in the back end.
That's kind of what they do on just about every play, according to Coach O and his film study. There's also a relationship, always relationships in the coaching profession, but Tom Herman has a relationship with Dave Aranda, and he explained their friendship.
Enjoyable guy to be around, very cerebral. He came in, I think I actually hosted him on his visit to Cal Lutheran, and came in as a player. Medically, he'd had 5 or 6 shoulder surgeries, so he was done pretty early. So he transitioned into student coach. But we've stayed in touch throughout the years. I remember when I was named special teams coordinator at Sam Houston State, he was at Texas Tech, and I actually drove from Huntsville all the way to Lubbock to spend a couple days trying to learn some special teams, drills and whatnot. And he was nice enough to have me stay at his apartment, all that stuff. So we bounce ideas off each other quite regularly. Haven't in the last couple years because we knew we were going to be playing each other. But, prior to us finding that part out, we've stayed in pretty close contact.
So that's his thoughts on Dave Aranda. Now here is Tom Herman, the head coach of the Texas Longhorns, thoughts on the LSU defense. It's coming up. It's talking about Tom Herman on LSU's defense. Look, physical, fast. They played great assignment football in the week one win over Georgia Southern. That triple option, look, they didn't have any missed tackles. They were fundamentally sound. And I'm sure that was impressive to Tom Herman as well.
One, the size and strength up front. I mean, three guys that are starting up front that are well over 300 pounds. I think one or two over 350 pounds. And then, you know, Caleb on Chase on as the, you know, kind of the edge setter, pass rusher. I mean, he's elite. And then they've got two All-Americans in the secondary as well. So this will be as talented of a defense as we have seen in our time here. And it's not just heavy in one area, you know. I mean, it's not just, hey, they're great in the secondary, but they're average up front. I mean, they've got NFL players at pretty much every position.
No question about that. Silent count will come in very, very handy. They're going to pump in noise today and Wednesday. LSU will. They've played out in the heat. The it's a turf stadium at Texas. So they've got the indoor turf. They've got an outdoor turf field. They've got all the things you need to be successful. They just have to go and take care of their business. Tom Herman talked about his relationship with Coach O.
I don't know that, you know, we've talked on the phone or gone out to dinner. I know that. But when we see each other, you know, it's, hey, how you doing, catching up, all that stuff. And I don't know. He is. It is unique, his language, certainly.
Okay, Tom, and people that ask that question, that's just getting old, okay? It's really getting old. Ed Orgeron is Ed Orgeron, okay? So he's a Cajun, and he talks that way. So what? That's getting really, really, really old, and I just hope that Coach O takes care of business. Today is Competition Tuesday. Coach O says they're going to take a level head, do the best you can today, do the same thing the next day, and he says, I'm sure when we get on that plane, we're going to be fired up, ready to go. I'm sure they will too. The team that takes care of the ball, the team that's the most physical, is going to win the football game. Plain and simple. All right, we will take a time out here. When we come back, Brian Davis covers the Longhorns. We'll get his thoughts on the big matchup Saturday night in Austin. Next, here on the Jordy Helpert Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Helpert Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
All right, we take you back to now to the lovely city of Austin, Texas. Brian Davis covers the Longhorns for the Austin American Statesman and does a plethora of things there, and he's kind enough to join us on this Tuesday. Brian, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing terrific. Okay? What's going on? Anything big going on? Yeah, everything. Anything big going on there this weekend that I should know about?
Yeah, we got kayaking on Lady Bird Lake. We've got I'm sure there's 100 bands.
Love it.
That are playing on 5th Street and 6th Street. That's right. There's some minor league basketball going on. Yes, of course. And there's a football game at Royal Memorial Stadium.
LSU fans have been looking forward to this for quite some time. What about Longhorn fans?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is the game that's been circled on everyone's calendar on both sides. And as well as it should be. I mean, you know, Texas has gone through the wilderness, quite frankly, this entire decade. This is a program mm-hmm. that's been kicked around quite a bit, three straight losing seasons under Charlie Strong. But now this year begins a series of years where they have a really high-profile non-conference game. Obviously, Texas comes to Baton Rouge next year. Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan are on future schedules down the next decade. So Texas fans are really excited about this one and all the big games to come.
How much of a fan favorite is Sam Ellinger, and where does he rank in your mind? There have been some really good quarterbacks in that at that university.
Absolutely. I mean, Sam is a guy that the biggest thing that he's done is that he has sort of breathed life back into the fan base, and that it's impossible to overstate that, how big that has been. You know,
yes.
But you can't put him in that conversation yet with Vince and Colt. You just can't because they haven't won a championship yet. I mean, they've done a lot of good things. They've beat Oklahoma. They beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, obviously. But they don't have any championship rings yet. And so until Ellinger does that, right now he's just an excitable guy who has a lot more runway left.
How much faith do the fans have in Tom Herman and what he brings?
Well, you know, it's funny. I think at this point, you know, 2+ years into the Tom Herman experience, it is so radically different than what was here, you know, under Charlie Strong. If you're a fan, if you aren't really bought into what Tom Herman is doing, I would argue, you know, what are you waiting for, right? What else do you need to see? Mm-hmm. I mean, because I think in 2 years in one game, he has shown you that Texas, you got an upgrade at head coach, right? And so, mm-hmm. you've got a quarterback that you can believe in. I personally really like what they're doing defensively with Todd Orlando and his crew. So I'm saying that there's a lot to be optimistic about, whether you want to drink their Kool-Aid or not.
You're in the business. What's the weather supposed to be like for Saturday?
What's the weather? Oh, it'll be good, and hot and muggy. No uh-huh. doubt about that. We're going through a string of 100 degree days right now. And the weather people were talking last night about how if that hurricane that's coming up on Florida, if that could sort of break up. And that might send a wave of clouds and rain this way. That might cool things off.
Interesting. Brian Davis, kind enough to join us talking Texas Longhorns. Has the story of the LSU Tom Herman coaching deal, has that had any play whatsoever this week?
No, not really, at least not here. Mostly okay. because... I don't even pretend to want to speak for the LSU side of the argument, but at least from the Texas side,
right.
It was a non-story. I mean, a lot of Texas people were sort of mad that Thanksgiving night that broke because, Herman was already set to meet with Texas officials the next day after Texas played TCU. And so they saw that on Thanksgiving night, and it's like, you know, what we've been told is that the feeling was, what is this? You know, what is this agent doing, right? And so, mm-hmm. you know, if you ask a high-level Texas official, man, how scared were you that LSU was going to steal your coach, they will tell you zero, because they weren't.
Zero. Okay. Very good. Brian Davis joining us. What was the sense you got of Tom Herman and his thoughts about LSU heading into the showdown Saturday?
Well, I mean, very respectful. He definitely, you know, if you don't respect LSU and their athleticism and what they have, you're an idiot, quite frankly, right? I think you're an idiot as a head coach because LSU could have zero star recruits, and they're still going to be fast, or they're still going to be physical, and they're still going to hit you in the mouth, I would think, because that's just what LSU does.
Yeah.
Get two potential first-round draft picks, you know, in the secondary, a quarterback that, you know, obviously all LSU
right.
fans know about how, you know, Herman tried to get Burrow to Ohio State. Now he's in Baton Rouge, you know, the whole backstory there. You know, there's, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen after Saturday, but I got to believe LSU is going to win a lot of games this year, you know, regardless of what happens against Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that it strikes me, and I'll float this to you, and you tell me what you think about this. I feel like mm-hmm. that the loser of this game is not necessarily eliminated from the playoff picture. Because I think there's plenty of time to make up ground with whatever happens.
Yeah, I agree totally. You get a shot at Oklahoma later on. You're at West Virginia. LSU certainly has Alabama. They have Texas A&M. They have Florida. So there's plenty more fish to fry in this thing. However, if you do win this thing and you take care of your business, it almost guarantees you a spot in that that Final Four.
Absolutely. As you know what? As it probably should. As it probably should. When you look at who each team has left, okay, and both of their conferences, absolutely. You win Saturday and you take care of business in your conference, you absolutely probably should get one of the four Willy Wonka tickets to the CFP.
Yeah. Brian Davis, kind enough to join us talking Texas Longhorns. All right, what's the key what's the key in your mind to success in this thing?
Well, I mean, you know, Texas's running game is so banged up now because they don't really have any healthy running backs. I don't want to say they don't have any because they have one in Keontae Ingram, and he's a big one. He's their starter, and no question about it. He told us today that he feels 100% and he's ready to go. But when you get beyond him, it's very, very shady. You know, they've got Roschon Johnson, who was a backup. He was the third-string quarterback, and now he's a running back. Then on mm-hmm. Sunday night, they moved David Benda, who was a linebacker. They moved a linebacker to running back. He's now the third-string running back. And quite honestly, there's really no one behind him. So when you look at Ingram, Johnson, David Benda, and then Sam Ellinger as the quarterback in the run game, I mean, that's not necessarily playing with a full deck in the backfield, because they're going to have to make the most of that. And if LSU can keep that running game bottled up and force Ellinger to throw, I'm not going to say that guarantees victory for LSU, but it dramatically increases their odds.
Brian, I can't thank you enough, man. I know you had a busy day between writing and television hits and all. We look forward to heading your way, and we'll talk again down the road, buddy. Thank you so much. If we can help you, let us know.
Absolutely, guys. We got a plate of enchiladas calling your name.
Ooh, we're ready, baby. Thank you, big guy.
Come
we
on.
Appreciate it. That's going to wrap up our number one of the program. Brian Davis of the American Austin Statesman. Kind enough to join us. Big ball game. Number 6 versus number 9. We can finally talk about it, and it'll get here sooner than you think. Yes, indeed. Hour number 2, straight ahead. The Jordy Helpert Show on Acadiana's number 1 sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana's Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
It's hour number 2 of 2 on a Tuesday. Hope you're having a great day. day. I'm not going to do the LeBron Taco Tuesday thing, though, but doesn't that sound good right about now? CD back in the Master Control Suite in the 237 Roof Studios, and away we go. Coming up in this hour, we'll talk LSU recruiting with Billy Embody of Go247 Sports, a plethora of recruits on the sidelines, not only for football, but for basketball as well. And then we'll take you to Lynchburg, Virginia. Damian Sordelet covers the Liberty Flames. We'll find out all about Hugh Freeze and the Flames, losers to Syracuse in the season opener 24-0. We'll do a little history lesson, some birthday wishes, and set the stage for tomorrow. But we do it every day at this time of day. We get the ball rolling with our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, button please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
All right, CD has recovered from five straight days of nothing but football. I sweated out watching Team USA beat Turkey in hoops today in overtime. But they got it done, so away we go. CD, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. What a way to kind of start things off with the college football season, week one officially in the books, and one heck of a way to wrap it up with a pretty fun matchup between, obviously, the Louisville Cardinals and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Are the Irish starting to live up to some of the preseason hype that's been bestowed upon them?
Coach Kelly looked good. I don't know what he's been. He must be on some no-carb diet, but that's the best he's looked in a long, long time. Notre Dame, I think the jury's out on everybody, to be quite honest with you, at this point in time. I'll let you know after this weekend. We got some good matchups, but proud of what the Raging Cajuns did. You know, I thought they'd be a little spicy, and they were. I thought LSU would dominate Georgia Southern, and they did. But now we got some big fish to fry.
Exactly. Starting this Saturday with the LSU-Texas game, it's going to be a lot of fun to see what happens. Can that spread offense that LSU brought to the table on Saturday keep the ball rolling? Because I think that would be absolutely huge to see that. Before we get to that, we didn't get to do Hot Topics yesterday, only an hour. So why don't I kind of get some ideas of what you thought about the opening game against with LSU, Georgia Southern. Was that Derek Stingley punt return just a breath of fresh air? Because it was like you saw the offense do their thing, the defense doing what you expect them to do, and then the punt return game just looked phenomenal. It looks like a complete team for once.
It really does. He looks so comfortable back there. He's not fazed by the moment. The 100 or whatever, how many thousands of fans were in the stands, that didn't affect him in any way, shape, or form. He almost took it to the house on his first return. So they're good. York was 2 for 2 from field goal range. So you kind of like that. We'll see what he can do on the road. And it looked to me like this has been an offense they've been running for years. They look that comfortable, that efficient, that smooth, no turnovers, and Joe Burrow was terrific. So they spread the wealth. It looked like some of those plays, I swear, you could have told me Sean Payton was on the sidelines, Drew Brees was at quarterback, and the Saints were LSU was running Saints plays. It looked so good. It was so refreshing. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, it's absolutely just fantastic to see what's been going on with LSU's offense. Just firing off on all cylinders. And one other thing we didn't get to talk about was what was going on this weekend with all the trades that not only the Miami Dolphins were pulling off, the Houston Texans were doing with the Jadeveon Clowney, Laremy Tunsil trades with the Dolphins and the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. Jordy, how big is it to get a guy like Kiko Alonso to add a lot more speed to that linebacker group? Because that thing just feels incredibly deep after a couple of years where it felt like they were getting guys off the street to play that position.
Yeah, I mean, he's a veteran, so they like Beagle, but this guy's a veteran, and you could just see pushing all the chips in. I love week one that Clowney is not going to be rushing Drew Brees. He'll be doing it later on, early in the season up in Seattle, so that's, pick your poison there, because I think he's a heck of a football player. But it just goes to show you, look, the Texans, they don't have a GM. The head coach, O'Brien, is like if I don't make some deals now, I'm not going to be coaching this team after this season, so I'll give all the draft picks away. I just want some people. My quarterback was hit more than and sacked more than any other quarterback in the NFL a year ago. I got to do something to protect him, so Tunsil comes in to do that. Did he bring his gas mask with him is my question.
That's the million-dollar question. Did he bring the gas mask? We shall see. I mean, mind you, I think in Texas it's not necessarily legal what was going on over there, so he might have left that one back in Oxford, to say the least, Jordy.
Oxford, yeah. Who was his coach? Hugh Freeze.
Yeah,
I
Hugh
think
Freeze.
It was. Oh yeah, Hugh's coming to town.
Hopefully, maybe. Hopefully he'll be. He's obviously awaiting the okay to travel, which got me thinking: how do you wind up like coaching a game from a hospital bed, wheelchair, even your own bed itself? Hypothetically, would it be basically you have a giant iPad? And you have him, Hugh Freeze, hooked up on FaceTime and be like, all right, guys, let's run this route. You just have a giant iPad on, like, on a giant tripod, basically. It's a weird thing. It's going to be absolutely comical.
I've never seen anything like it. He gave the pregame speech on tape. He gave a speech at halftime. I guess they hooked him up with, you'd know more about this than me, with modern technology. He's given the speech at halftime. But Hugh, you're an offensive guru, and you could have just stayed home because without you, they couldn't have done worse. Zero on the board. Zero.
Yes.
And they're fixing to be 0-2 after Saturday.
And I think the Cajuns fans would absolutely love that to start off. 1-1, obviously, it's not necessarily what you would have wanted, especially after the way they started off the season with a pretty decent competitive ball game against Mississippi State, 10-point loss.
Yeah.
From your perspective, because I was there actually covering the game, give me your perspective on what you saw from that matchup between the Cajuns and Mississippi State.
No quit in the Cajuns. Some early mistakes, too many turnovers, but State's not as good as maybe they profess to be. But you got to give the Cajuns credit. They had it. They had many opportunities to keep that thing really, really close. They didn't give up. They battled. And, you know, sometimes you play these SEC teams, you get humiliated, you get demoralized. That's about as good of a moral victory as you can come away with. I know that coaches don't believe in that. But I promise you that the Cajuns have a pep in their step, and they're ready to go because they really feel like they can win some games this year. So I thought it was very well played, very well done. Eliminate the turnovers, you win the game.
Exactly, and we didn't get you to put it on wax about your records for LSU, the Cajuns, and the Saints. And you don't necessarily do that, but the loss on Saturday, did that wind up making you think that this team's going to be a lot better than maybe you thought they were going to be a couple weeks into the season?
And more importantly, it's what they believe in themselves. I think they're angry because they could have gotten away with a win there. And so I think they feel a lot better about themselves, and I think they'll be very successful this season. Yeah, because they don't play another Power 5 big-time school down there, so they have a very manageable schedule. Not to say that it's going to be easy because the Sun Belt always has good teams. But they can certainly compete with all of them. So they got a shot in every game for the rest of the way out.
It's going to be fun to see what happens with the Cajuns the rest of the way. But you brought it up earlier. Might as well kind of end on this note. What was going on with that wild, wild ball game between the USA and Turkey? That was something else to kind of see live as it happened.
Just goes to show you, we need our superstars to play. The rest of the world's catching up. They got so many NBA players on all these other teams. Turkey, for example, had a couple of NBA players on it. They're not scared of Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum and these guys. Now, they'd be scared of LeBron and Steph Curry and James Harden and Anthony Davis, but none of those guys are going to play. I really thought when Popovich took over as the head coach that all the stars would play for him. Boy, was I wrong. So they beat Turkey in overtime. It's not going to be – Australia beat them in a qualifier or an exhibition game before. So it's not going to be easy. We'll see. We'll see. They pulled it out. You had to have a missed free throw by Turkey to keep it in overtime, to send it to overtime. But goodness gracious, we need our superstars badly. It's going to be a fun week.
fun week. Liberty Flames, old Jerry Falwell's school is coming to town, and the Tigers heading to Austin, and the Saints open up against the Texans. It's going to be great on a Monday night. It's going to be a fun, fun weekend, absolutely. But we'll have you covered here throughout the course of the week. Those are your Hot Topics brought to you by Cajun Chef Hot Sauce right there in St. Martinville. The Biart family for nearly 90 years have produced the same great product by using the finest spices and the finest peppers. Do yourself a flavor. Bring a bottle of Cajun Chef Hot Sauce with you to Austin. Bring it to Cajun Field. Bring it wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef Hot Sauce on it. All right, when we come back, a busy recruiting weekend. We'll get the 411 from the 247 of Billy Embody. Go 247 Sports next.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back as we continue our coverage of all things football in this area with the Raging Cajuns getting ready to host the Liberty Flames. On Saturday evening, the Saints hosting the Houston Texans on Monday night, and LSU going on the road to take on the Texas Longhorns in Austin. And there's always a game within the game. And with such an emphasis on recruiting in the state of Texas, this game takes on a huge, huge ramifications with the outcome in many, many aspects and many, many regards. Billy Embody is our recruiting go-to guy with Go247 Sports. He joins us now. Billy, thanks for the time. Good afternoon. And it does have huge ramifications, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think more so in the future for the 2021s and the 2022s classes. I mean, you saw over the weekend LSU landed their first 2022 commitment from a Beaumont area athlete, top 100 athlete, Bryce Anderson. So LSU, looking down the pipeline and looking down the future years, they know how big of a game this is, and it can really help them strengthen those ties to Texas, and specifically, I mean, Dallas and Houston and Austin area and East Texas. But this is a big matchup. I mean, in terms of recruiting ramifications, this is probably about as big as it gets.
I'm with you. Ed Orgeron, I'm going to quote you when asked today about the offense and if it helps recruiting. He said, phenomenal. On the big stage, these recruits want to see us throwing the football. They want to see us in the shotgun. The quarterbacks love seeing it. The playmakers love getting the ball in their hands. The running backs love it. Offensive linemen love it. They love seeing you scoring points. I guess recruits were happy with what they saw from game one.
Yeah, of course, and I talked with Max Johnson and T.J. Finley and Kayshawn Boutte, just some of the names we talked with over at Go 24/7 after the game about the new look offense and kind of how it performed. And man, just the reviews that they gave us were impressive. I mean, you can tell this wasn't one of those games and performances where you said, "Oh, okay, there was something there that they look like they've changed and improved on, and it's a little bit more exciting," but they are a completely different offensive football team, and it shows. And anybody watching that game, whether it was a recruit, a coach, or whoever, I mean, had to be impressed. And you can tell they're for real when they said all offseason, hey, we are bringing the spread offense to Baton Rouge. And, just a few years after Orgeron said it at his opening press conference when he was introduced, now he fully brings it on with Joe Brady and Steve Ensminger combining to create this new-look offense.
Yeah. Billy Embody, Go 24/7 Sports, kind enough to join us. Granted, it was a 55-3 win, but also from a recruiting perspective, 13 freshmen got to play in the game. That adds to it as well, right?
Yeah, and like I said, people want to see the team throw it around, like you said, but people want to see themselves play early and trust the coaches that, hey, there is a path to playing time. There's a path to seeing the field and contributing at a high level. I mean, whether it's Derek Stingley Jr. being all of the five-star prospect that we thought he was on 24/7 Sports and the highest-rated corner ever, to John Emery and Tyrion Davis Price and Siaki Aika, Apu Aika there in the middle. They played Kendall McCallum. They played some of the freshman corners. They played Trey Palmer and Devonta Lee. I mean, they really it was impressive the amount of freshmen they got out there on the field, and it's going to I think it's going to be a little bit of a theme here, especially in the non-conference.
This may not be a fair question, but is there a recruit out there for this year's class coming up that both LSU and Texas are recruiting that might be on the sidelines for the Longhorns for this game?
Yeah, so the big one is Bijan Robinson, who actually just committed to Texas a couple weeks ago. It might have been a little bit longer than that, but around a couple weeks ago. He's a five-star running back, and right now LSU doesn't have a back in their class, and he wants to visit LSU for an official visit, and the Tigers have been on him hard. He's committed to Texas, but obviously a strong showing from LSU, especially offense, would go a long way with him as he looks to continue to kind of navigate his recruiting process, even though he just made his pledge to the Longhorns a few weeks ago. He is going to be in Baton Rouge at some point for an official visit.
So I guess Coach O can kind of meander over to that sideline, give a little wink and a nod during warm-ups, maybe? I mean, that's not disallowed, is it?
Yeah, they're not allowed to talk to any of the recruits, but you can probably give a wink and a nod. That would be about it. Usually they do a pretty good job of keeping the recruits on Texas's side of the field.
I got you. Billy Embody, 24/7 Sports, covering the LSU Tigers. Football games bring out recruits for every sport. What about Will Wade? Who do you have in town over the weekend?
He had a big man in on an official visit, Bradley Ezewiro, out of California and now going to Oak Hill Academy in Virginia, one of the top basketball powerhouses in the country. He told me 10 out of 10 on the visit, so he's somebody that wants to take all five, or at least sounds like he's going to take probably 2 to 3 more official visits. He's running out of time. He wants to sign early. He's got a loaded schedule at Oak Hill now. That he's got to handle and manage. So I'll be interested to see if he takes all five official visits. But right now, LSU is in a really, really good spot to land him. They were the leader going into the official visit. Tennessee, USC are two programs that are going to host him in the coming weeks. And then Jalen Cook, the point guard commit, was on campus to kind of recruit him as well. Naz Reid and Cavell Bigby Williams are also back in town to kind of help recruit him a little bit and kind of show him the ropes. And so I thought that was a nice thing for LSU to have a card to play, if you will, with Ezewiro, who was on campus.
Yeah. How big is the kid?
He's 6'8", 230. He's kind of a late bloomer, somebody who really started to pick up recruiting attention after his strong month of July. LSU was actually the first high major, though, to really go, I would say, all in and offer and pursue him at a real, real high level. Mm-hmm. And so they've been in it now for a couple of months and have done a really nice job with Bill Armstrong leading the way there. But, 6'8", 230, kind of, I don't think he's necessarily a project, but he's somebody that I would say, and we'll see how he develops over the next year, but he'd come in and give you serviceable minutes, and then you hope he develops and changes his body. He's kind of a little bit like Darius Days, but maybe not as much skill on the perimeter.
Okay. Gotcha. So a huge weekend for LSU, not only on the field, but in the recruiting world as well, not only for maybe a running back this year, but certainly in the years to come. What other than the offense, I mean, what stood out to you from week one?
I think Derek Stingley Jr., and not to harp on it, but my gosh, his first touch, he gets just a couple of hairs short of breaking it for a touchdown on a punt return. And I know it's Georgia Southern, but look, I mean, he's as talented as probably anybody on the roster in terms of just pure physical traits. I mean, he might be the most talented player on the roster in that regard. Certainly, I think he is one of the top testers. So, Derek Stingley Jr. really stood out to me. We didn't get to see him too much in pass coverage, but, I mean, just exactly what you want to see. I thought Caleb on Chasson and and Tyler Shelvin were particularly impressive. Damone Clark was impressive. Yes. So some of those younger guys and somebody in, that we haven't seen in so long in Chasson, really showing just how good they are and going to make an impact for LSU this year.
Yeah, Billy, I thought the defense was outstanding, and that's what they're going to have to be this year, every game, for this team to be able to reach their goals. So the offense, I don't know if they're going to be able to continue that week in, week out against some of the defenses that they'll play against, but defense comes to play every night, and that defense gets to it like this, they'll be just fine. But we'll follow you at Go247 Sports. Big weekend, Billy. Thank you so much for your time, as always, buddy. We'll catch up soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Jordy.
Billy, you're the best. Billy Embody, Go247 Sports. When we come back, we'll head to Lynchburg, Virginia. Damian Sordelet with all the news on the Liberty Flames here on the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you're locked into the Jordy Helpert Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
All right, well, after an opening loss in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, the Raging Cajuns have their home opener as the Liberty Flames come to town. Liberty lost their opener to Syracuse 24-0. Damian Sordelet covers Liberty University Athletics for the news in advance in lovely Lynchburg, Virginia. And Damian's kind enough to join us to tell us about the Flames. Damian, good afternoon, buddy. Thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate you having me on, Jory. Hopefully your afternoon's going well so far.
Everything's going fine. Just a question. Lynchburg, Virginia, are y'all in any harm's way with Dorian expected to move up the East Coast?
Right now, Lynchburg's far enough inland from the coast that now we're not too terribly worried about any substantial hurricane force winds or anything like that hitting us.
Good.
Right now, most of the forecast for the rest of the week has at most 20% precipitation. So right now we're looking in decent shape, but of course the trajectory of the hurricane could change. But right now we're in good shape.
All right. Boy, you guys have certainly garnered some national attention, not so much for what happened on the field, but what's happened off the field and up in the press box with Hugh Freeze, who Raging Cajun fans remember. He's coached in the Sun Belt for many years before he got the Ole Miss job. How is Coach Freeze doing, and what is his what are the possibilities of him making the trek to Lafayette?
Right now, he said his back's feeling better, and he said Monday at his press conference that the back was in as good of shape as it has been since the surgery. The reason why he was in the hospital bed up in the press box Saturday night against Syracuse was Wednesday he went in for an MRI because he felt some discomfort and wanted to get it checked out. Some fluids had been building up where he had the surgery for the herniated disc and to remove the staph infection. So he had to have that drained, and they're trying to keep him off his feet as much as possible because the part of the back where he had the surgery, they said the bone in the joint in the disc was mushy because of the infection. So they needed to firm up before they can clear him to, be on his feet all the time again. So basically with having to clear out the fluids, the bone in the joint still need to firm up, which is why they're keeping him off his feet as much as possible. He said yesterday that throughout this week and up through the end of Thursday's practice, his goal is to get in as good a shape as possible so he can not only be at practice but also make the trip. And, I had a chance to listen to Billy Napier's press conference yesterday, and it sounded like he and the Louisiana staff and the administration are doing everything they can to try to accommodate him. I don't know what accommodations they'll be able to provide up in the visitors' coaches' booth. I don't know how spacious that is. But Free said his mindset is He wants to be in a position where he can sit up and call a game for 4+ hours because that's the best case scenario, you know, with his back situation. And, you know, he's hoping to be there and make the trip because the last time he was there was 2010 when he was the offensive coordinator at Arkansas State, and the Raging Cajuns got the best of the Red Wolves in that game.
You're absolutely right. Damian, let me ask you a question. Excuse my ignorance, but did Coach Freeze call the game from his hospital bed, or was he just observing?
He called plays. He called the offensive plays. He did first and second downs, and then Kent Austin, who's the co-offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach, who is also in the booth, called third down plays because he has been with the team during Freeze's absence. That's normally what the play calling situation is going to be like. Freeze is going to handle most of everything, but he will defer to Austin or Maurice Harris, who's the other co-offensive coordinator, the wide receivers coach, for some third down and some other situations. And Freeze did help defensive coordinator Scott Simons with some third down calls or some tight red zone calls for what he wanted to see and what he thought the Syracuse offense was going to do. And that's what he would do on a game day
if
he were healthy and on the sidelines.
I just want to know what member of the staff was responsible for getting a bed up into a press box. I've never, ever, ever heard of that before.
Yeah, and Free said after the game Saturday that will probably be a trivia question someday with who was the first college football coach to call a game from a press box in a hospital bed. No one really has pinpointed who came up with the idea. He thought it was some from the administration who came up with it. Some high-ranking athletic officials said, well, we think it was Coach Freeze who came up with the idea. But in the long run, it made sense that, you know, he hadn't seen his team in person in 3 weeks. So getting a chance to be there for the first game, everything that he went through in the past 2+ years after being dismissed from Ole Miss, you know, he wasn't going to miss his first game back as a head coach. And no matter if that was on the sideline in perfect health or, you know, up in the press box lying in a hospital bed still recovering from back surgery. So, you know, whoever came up with the idea might be getting a bonus out of this, but it was something that I think they now know can work if they need to do it in 2 weeks when Buffalo comes to town.
Damian Sordelet of the News in Advance in Lynchburg, Virginia, covers the Liberty Flames. What was the general consensus of in the community when the hiring of Hugh Freeze was announced?
It was actually there was a strong reception for it in Lynchburg, more so than it was when Ian McCall was hired as the athletic director in 2016, because with McCall, there was still fresh in everyone's minds the circumstances surrounding his resignation at Baylor, especially with the sexual assault scandal hovering over the football team. And a lot of that has come into focus about how much McCall may not have been involved with it, with, you know, his name now off most every lawsuit filed against Baylor, and the way he's been becoming a little bit more outspoken now and how he's painting Baylor in the way they try to scapegoat the football program with what he deemed as a campus-wide problem. But with Freeze, the January prior to his hire this past December, he spoke at one of Liberty University's convocations, which used to be a thrice-weekly gathering of the students in the Vine Center, usually for praise and worship, guest speakers. It's now been cut down to twice a week. But Freeze got a chance to go up there, and it was his first public appearance since his resignation at Ole Miss. He was able to get up there, speak remorsefully about what he felt was a private sin that became public, and it was his first opportunity to members of the Christian faith to apologize to them and ask for forgiveness. And what the community saw was a man who was remorseful, repentant, knew that he had taken a great fall from where he was at Ole Miss, a pretty high pedestal, considered one of the nation's best coaches, to now unemployed, 2 years out of a job and basically saying, you know, in front of his wife that he was sorry to everyone. And that left an impression on not only the students there, but a lot of the members of the community who had a chance to either be there to watch it or watch it, you know, on the YouTube channel that Liberty has for its Office of Spiritual Development. And so when he was hired, there was actually a rather warm reception for him because they knew his backstory. They knew who he was when he came to visit, and they knew what his success was as a college football coach, especially on the offensive side. So the reception was relatively warm here. You know, nationally, there was a mixed bag of reactions, but specifically you're asking about the community, much more receptive for Freeze's hiring.
And case in point, just some recent headlines. Los Angeles Times, Liberty wants to be the evangelical Notre Dame of college football. The Washington Post, at Liberty University, Jerry Falwell Jr. bets on big-time football with a disgraced coach. I don't want to talk about all that stuff anymore. I want to talk about on the field. 24-0 against 22-ranked Syracuse. It's not too bad. I know the offense is was disappointing, but the defense must be pretty darn good.
The defense is much improved from last year, and I know that one-game sample size versus, you know, the past 2 years where the defense was atrocious, to speak frankly, and they gave up yards and points aplenty, but you have to like what Scott Simons, the new defensive coordinator, has done in bringing in a more aggressive mindset with that 4-2-5 defense. He constantly sent pressure to try to rattle Tommy DeVito, who, you know, got a chance to play behind Eric Dungy last year, had been thrusted into the spotlight once against Notre Dame, and Notre Dame's pressure really got to him, and Liberty tried to mimic that as best it could, and it really rattled him for about a quarter and a half until they got the screen game going to combat the blitz and really, you know, take advantage of Liberty's inept offense to wear down the defense. But that defense has really improved. Jesse Lemonnier, his brother Corey, played at Auburn. He's a stalwart at defensive end for them. He's kind of the motor that runs them. Then you have some other faces. Austin Lewis is a 6'6", 260-pound defensive end on the other side, a sophomore. Really good. Got shut down against Syracuse last week, but they're expecting him to play really well. Then middle Mike linebacker Solomon Ajayi, he's the younger brother of Philadelphia Eagles running back Jay Ajayi. He really played well there. They're really high on the veteran leadership that he brings. And then you have Elijah Benton at safety, who was all over the field against Syracuse. So they're really happy with the way the defense has progressed from, you know, the, what was it, 9 months since Freeze was hired to now, turning around a defense that was very poorish last year and ranked in the bottom third of most every major statistical category in FBS for defense, to getting it to where it is now.
You could have stayed home, right? I mean, he couldn't done any worse. So not to be flippant, but I mean, he could have rested in a real bed at home because the offense was non-existent. What was the issues there?
The issues were, it just seemed like quarterback Buckshot Calvert was way too uncomfortable in the pocket, and you know, watching him in practice in the open portions and hearing what he had to say during the training camp and in the weeks leading up to the game, you know, you didn't foresee that coming. And, you know, the running game didn't get going at all, and that was really the biggest surprise, is the running game didn't get going, which forced a little bit more onto Calvert's shoulders. And against a defense like that, that is going to bring six if you have five in protection and is always going to make sure there's one extra guy in the box to account for, you know, he may have been a little uncomfortable. And there were times where the clock in his head didn't go off fast enough because, you know, he was sacked seven times, and about four or five of them were he just didn't get rid of the ball quickly enough. So there's something with timing. I mean, the RPO offense, he said he loves it, but still kind of new to him. So that's going to be something that they need to get ironed out, because Louisiana's got that, you know, three-man front, and they're really exotic with how they present their defenses pre-snap and what they do in terms of pressure post-snap. So he's going to have to find a way to make sure he recognizes that and be comfortable and precise in his decision making, or for this offense to get back on track from where it was last year when it averaged about 34, 35 points a game.
Wow. Damian Sordelet, kind enough to join us from Lynchburg, Virginia, covering the Liberty Frames. What are the expectations? This is year one of Hugh Freeze, but obviously they've made a commitment to football. But what are the expectations of this program?
Well, this year they want to get to a bowl game, and that's going to require 7 victories because they have 2 FCS, formerly Division I AA, teams on the schedule. So they need to get to the 7-win mark so that way they could be bowl eligible and go to the first bowl game in program history. You talk about the investment. They're currently renovating their operations center. It's $25 million to add 18,000 square feet and make it state-of-the-art. They just completed a $50 million renovation to Williams Stadium, which included a video board, new upper deck, new press box, new south colonnade to really give it a great big major stadium atmosphere. And they have a lot of other projects in the work around the stadium. So they're going to be investing about $100 million in renovating the stadium within, you know, 2 to 3 year span. And that's also part of the $1 billion campus transformation that they've been undertaking for the past year. Or past 10 years, excuse me. $1 billion in a year would just sound ridiculous, but now that I'm questioning. But,
if you can, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, with the online enrollment that they have through their classes, about 100,000 students of those per year, and then you add in, I think, 15 or 16,000 students on campus, they're really doing an investment in their campus. As a nonprofit, you funnel all the money back in, but they're really making sure athletics is a priority, because with football being FBS now, that is the most visible program, most visible element of the campus from a national standpoint. And so with Hugh Freeze on board, you add these facilities in, you're adding in these schedules where you are getting some of the better programs in the nation. If you look at Syracuse and Louisiana back-to-back to open this season, you have more ACC, you have more Sun Belt schools on the schedule. That only enhances what the program they want it to be at. So they are making the resources. And this year, bowl eligibility, and, you know, they're going to try to raise that ceiling every year moving forward.
Do they want to remain independent in the years to come, or is there a conference affiliation hope in their future?
They've told me they will listen if a conference approaches them, but the fact that they've been so successful in scheduling as an independent, let's take, for instance, the ACC, they have series set up with Syracuse, Virginia Tech, Virginia, North Carolina, Wake Forest, Duke. Then you look at the Sun Belt, Louisiana, they've gotten I believe they also have a few others in there. They've played App State in the past. Mm-hmm. They have some Conference USA teams on the schedule. You know, really the only conference that's in this region, if you want to include Central and Eastern time zone, is, you know, the American Athletic Conference. They've been able to get the MAC teams on the schedule. So right now they're really happy with where they are as an independent. You know, we'll see how that goes moving forward. They do make a trip to Louisiana Monroe coming to Lynchburg next year. Then they make the return trip in 2021. I'm trying to see when they're making the return trip, and Louisiana's making the return trip in 2021 to Lynchburg as well. So, you know, they've been able to have success in scheduling. You know, it'll be interesting to see if a conference does approach them. But right now, they're more than happy being an independent, and they're able to get teams into Lynchburg that you normally wouldn't be able to if you're affiliated with a conference, because you have such a small window to get teams in. So independent right now is something that they're really happy with.
Damian Sordelet of the News and Advance. All right, one last one, and we'll let you get out of here. Hugh Freeze makes the trip, yes or no, in your guesstimation?
He does. He will not allow a back injury to prevent him from being there.
Will he need a bed in the press box again?
Possibly.
Possibly. Okay, I'm going to have the mattress companies on standby for them, all right? Damian, thank you so much, man. I greatly appreciate the time. If we can help you, let us know, buddy.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on.
You're welcome. Damian Sordelet of the News and Advance. $100 million in renovations. Football. Amazing. Back to wrap things up. The Jordy Helpert Show. 1037 The Game. 1037TheGame.com.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
All right, let's wrap this thing up with our daily history lesson brought to you by DC's Little Capital Exxon I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Everything you need for your travels, including that true soul food deli with the best cheeseburger on the planet. DC's Little Capital Exxon. It was on this day, September the 3rd, 1974, the Big O retires from the game of basketball. Oscar Robertson finished his career with averages of 25.7 points per game, 7.5 rebounds per game, and 9.5 assists per game. Both the Cincinnati Royals and the Milwaukee Bucks retired his number. He won an NBA championship when Lou Alcindor came over to team up with the Big O on this day, September 3rd, 1974. If today's your birthday, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. You share with the likes of current LSU defensive back Christian Fulton, former LSU basketball player, teammate of mine, Al Green, and former football coach Curly Hallman. How about that? Special thanks to our guest Brian Davis on the Longhorns, Billy Embody on recruiting, and Damian Sordelet with the Liberty Flame. CD, job well done. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4, same great station, 103.7 The Game. Until then, I'm Jordy Helpert. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is KLWB Karen Crow Lafayette, 1037 The Game, a Delta Media station. Call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663.